Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Cell phones in New York City schools. They're still not allowed, but like reception, enforcement can sometimes be spotty. I'm Anna Sale, host and managing editor of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money podcast. I'm sitting in for Brian today. And today on the Brian Lehrer Show, we have questions. How likely is the CDC's worst case scenario for Ebola in West Africa? Also, is the National Football League having an existential crisis? Could it really go under? The New York Giants take the field tonight. We'll take calls from fans about whether you'll be watching or sitting this one out. Plus, how big a threat of attack do New Jersey's many black bears pose? And finally, getting into the spirit of the season, the question of which apple to pick. We'll hear from a self-described apple stalker about the different varieties and where to find them. But up first this morning, the papers are filled with Mayor Bill de Blasio's international activities this week. He's been hobnobbing with mayors of Paris, giving a speech in London, and on Tuesday speaking to the United Nations Summit on Climate Change. But talking to reporters outside the UN, he was asked about a very local matter that's gotten attention. When would he follow through on his campaign pledge to end the ban on cell phones in schools? He was also asked if his son Dante brings a phone to school. It turns out he does.
Dante's school tends to be pretty open, so yes, he brings a cell phone. But the fact is, I think it is for parents very, very important to know how to reach their kids. And we have to come up with a universal way to make sure that that opportunity is there for our young people.
Beth Fertig, contributing editor for education at WNYC and schoolbook.org, our education website, has been covering this issue for some time. And whether the parents need to get in touch with their children quickly trumps the almost insurmountable temptation to text in class. And she joins me now. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Anna.
So since school is out today, we also want to hear from parents and teachers and administrators about cell phones in schools. Do you think this policy right now is good as is? Does it need an update? 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. And Beth, you've been covering cell phones in schools and the ban and the proposals to change it for a lot of years now. Where did the ban initially come from?
Well, the city had always shunned having electronic devices in the schools, but they really updated that policy in the early, what are we calling it, aughts?
The early aughts.
Yeah. When Mayor Bloomberg, you know, was first confronted with the problem of kids taking, you know, music devices, you know, people had always had those for many years, but then it became the cell phones in the early aughts. And so they said, we're going to ban them in schools. And you're not allowed to bring your device. And yet, the only places where that was really strictly enforced were the schools with metal detectors, where the kids could not get them into the buildings because they were taking off their belts, they were emptying their pockets. There's about 80 or so buildings in the city that have metal detectors. They're usually the types of schools where they have reason to suspect that kids may be bringing weapons, they're in dangerous neighborhoods, or they attract a lot of kids from dangerous neighborhoods. So these metal detectors would be catching the cell phones, and the kids would then have the choice of either don't bring the cell phone or pay somebody to stash the cell phone. And this whole business cropped up of bodegas and vans parking outside schools where you could pay $1 a day to store your cell phone. And this was disproportionately hurting the kids from the low-income communities who had to pay to stash their phone for a day versus the kids like Mayor de Blasio's son, Dante, who attends Brooklyn Tech, not a dangerous school, not a place where they have metal detectors. And those kids could bring their phones to school and the teachers would look the other way unless they saw it in class and they saw something happening and then the dean would come and confiscate it or they'd call the parent.
Max in Brooklyn is calling in. Max, you're a school teacher?
Yes.
Hi. How do you feel about the cell phone policy in New York City schools?
I work at a high-impact neighborhood in Brooklyn, and I understand the need for safety, but if one of my students, all the time the kids their cell phones are being stolen when they come or go, when they're coming to school and when they're going home. If something is happening to a kid, there's security in the building. So, like, pulling out your phone will not stop whatever's going to happen to the kid, and usually they won't be able to call the cops. Now, that's one issue.
So you like the ban? Because you're saying it's not a safety issue.
Absolutely, it's not a safety issue. And I actually teach in classrooms where, because of the new cell phones that are made out of plastic, the students are able to sneak them in. And the idea of calling a dean to my room when I have 35 kids, not to mention kids with IEPs, and my classroom, I have all these requirements about the amount of work and the amount of rigor I have to do, and I have to stop and I have to go and, like, turn off your phone, because they have them, even with the ban in my class. I think this is, like, again, one of the many reasons and why, again, I have a hard time teaching in the New York public school system. It's not realistic, and, again, we can't cater to everything.
Thanks for your call, Max. So, Beth, Max brings up a lot of points there. First, he likes the ban, but second, he says enforcing it is not a high priority when he has so many other things happening in his classroom.
I hear this from so many teachers. And, you know, let me just first say that what Mayor de Blasio said the other day was not news at all. He had said that when he was running for mayor, so had virtually all the other candidates for mayor said they want to revise the ban on cell phones in schools precisely because of what this teacher is saying. It's unrealistic. It's not working. It ends up being inequitably enforced. Parents do want their kids to be in contact, especially parents of, you know, middle schoolers who are taking the buses around the city and subways for the first time. And yet, it also poses a problem for the teachers who have to deal with this. There was the cheating scandal at Stuyvesant High School a few years ago. You may remember when the kids were taking pictures of the exam questions and sending them to each other, and then they cracked down there. I've been in schools where I've seen this happening, and it is very distracting. We did a series this past year on West Brooklyn Community High School, which is a transfer school near Sunset Park, and I would watch as kids would have their cell phones out on their desks. Sometimes they would listen to music during class as they were working on a paper, and the teacher would allow that if it wasn't interfering with anyone. They'd say, fine, if it helps you to concentrate by tuning out the rest of the class and listening to music, that's okay. But as soon as they start texting, it becomes a problem. Or, you know, answering the phone. I would watch kids answer their phone in class, and that's when the dean would come or some advisor would come and take it away. And so it's really hard when we're all tempted by these devices every day. You see adults checking their cell phones as they walk out of the subway. How do you do that with a kid when kids are, you know, even more prone to their temptations?
Hey, what are other urban school districts doing with cell phones?
I honestly don't know. I think it's something that they're wrestling with around the country. And it's only going to be a real issue when you've got the metal detectors and you can actually catch them. Otherwise, there's no way of catching it. The kid brings it in. Unless you search the kid, they've got the cell phone on them someplace.
Is it correct that the original motivation for looking at cell phones goes back to regulating beepers and trying to control drug dealing in school? So it was a security issue to keep them out.
Well, and beepers, and also, I'm sure going back to, remember Walkmans, you know? I mean, it's always been an issue.
Now the call is from parents that it's a security and safety issue for my kid to have the cell phone.
So many parents, they definitely want to be able to be in touch with their kid. They want to know, are you coming home late? Are you safe? What happened? You know, they want to be able to tell their kid if they're running late and they're not going to pick them up. So parents definitely want it. But it does pose a huge obstacle for the teachers and policing.
Lucy in Brooklyn Heights, you're also a teacher?
Hi, yes, I am. Longtime teacher with the city. I think it's hard to expect that our sophisticated children are not going to have the sophisticated devices. They need to learn how to use them respectfully and appropriately. And so in our school, we let them kind of have them in once in a while. We don't ban it and police it at the door, which also, by the way, creates this kind of police state environment where the kids don't have dignity, and that effect trickles up into the classroom. So if you can just learn, use it as a teaching opportunity, and it is hard. There are problems with, you know, impulse control and wanting to do selfies here and there, but so we work on teaching them the right time and place to use the phone.
Well, what do you say? You say you let them use it from time to time. What do you actually say to a student about what's allowed and what's not allowed?
Appropriate usage in the classroom. So that looks like, we post signs and we encourage the phone is off and away, unless you're taking notes in class. So kids who use it to take notes in class are asked to speak to the teacher ahead of time. A lot of assignments are digital, and there's online back and forth from the teacher emailing and shared work and readings will be assigned through online devices. And our population is poor, so they're much more likely to have all of their internet-based communication occur on the phone, and there is no laptop, there is no desktop at home. So if we ask them to not use that phone, we're also banning a tool that could help them, you know, get to the next point in their education. So we take that kind of seriously and helping them use it appropriately and maximally, like note-taking features and such.
Yeah, so I used to fake like I was taking notes when I was writing notes to friends when I was in junior high, and now it's just you faking taking notes on your phone when you're really texting your friend.
Absolutely. And that goes on. You know, it is very hard to know when it is legit and not legit. I've come to recognize discrete movements under the desk, in the purse, et cetera, as a texting behavior. And then we're just trying to have open conversations of how a kid pays attention and develops their focus. So we teach that as an explicit skill set. And, you know, that conversation is across all kinds of things, including when is the right time and place for a cell phone and how do we use it. And a lot of kids don't even know how to organize a calendar and how to use different features that digital worlds give us access to. So, you know, it does add benefit to their lives, and kind of if they can use it for broader reasons that advance their learning, that's where we come in and try to.
Thanks for your call, Lucy. So Beth, Lucy introduces there that in a poor school, there's a lot of benefits with cell phones. There have been calls again and again to reform the policy. How much has that been about the way enforcement is inconsistent, whether you're in a high-performing school without metal detectors versus a metal detector school?
Well, it definitely plays into Mayor de Blasio's Tale of Two Cities theme, that you can't have one policy for the rich and another for the poor, that these metal detectors are largely impacting the kids from low-income neighborhoods or dangerous neighborhoods. So it's not fair, for sure. But then crafting a policy in which, you know, do you stash the phones in some lockers in the building? Where would you put those lockers? How do you prevent the kids from bringing them out during tests? You know, what do you do once they're in the building? That's a whole other thing. And so I don't see the city grappling with this anytime soon. There are many more important issues that Chancellor Carmen Farina is dealing with right now, such as the policy for how to co-locate or have multiple schools share the same building. They have more charter schools applying for space now under a state law that says charters must be given either space in public school buildings or ask for rent to go elsewhere. So they have that hitting them. They have their policy of doing away with A through F letter grades for schools and no longer giving them, you know, putting so much emphasis on tests when they determine which schools are doing well and which schools are not. They have to come up with a new report card structure this fall. They have a whole issue going on with the pre-K expansion, as we know. That's been their baby that they've been nurturing now, and now they have all those four-year-olds in the schools that they have to watch out for. There are many, many more important things going on than the ban on cell phones. That's just like very, very low on their lists. I don't think we'll be hearing anything anytime soon about it, but it's just one of these thorns in the side for the kids, for the teachers, for the parents.
And no expected change, given that long list of things.
Yeah, I could go on. There's many other things. Yeah.
Ed on Staten Island, you think that cell phones have a place in school?
I do. I am a parent, and, you know, my children travel very far to school. And living on Staten Island, what I note, which is not unique to the city, is there are very few working pay phones. And the reality is, especially like a place like Staten Island, where often they're traveling at hours when it's not rush hour, there aren't a lot of cars on the road, it's a safety issue. It's very important that they should be able to call, or 911 if necessary. And I really don't think that's something that should be ignored. It is a safety issue. Every adult that I know has a cell phone. I'm sure that's the same for you. And, a component of it is that it is for safety. And I don't think that should be ignored for children.
And how old was your child when you first gave him or her a cell phone?
They were in intermediate school. You know, my daughter in high school would commute to Manhattan from Staten Island. But in intermediate school, both parents were working. And we wanted to make sure that they were home, you know, when we expected them to be home. And it was also, my daughter had to walk about in addition to taking buses, but my daughter had to walk about a mile and a half home. And in that path, there would be literally one payphone, and there were actually a bunch of drug dealers that would hang around that payphone. So it wasn't too likely that you were going to be able to get to that phone. And I'm sure a lot of parents citywide could, you know, think of similar stories.
Was her phone ever taken away for using it in school?
No, but they, you know, interestingly, you know, they would occasionally have metal detectors, but, you know, I was able to drop my daughter off, and she left her phone with me that day. And I just don't think that it's really not a safety issue. If it is something that affects the academic situation in the school, then that should be addressed by the teachers and the deans. But as far as to and from school, it's an extraordinary safety issue.
And it's important to you as a parent. Thanks for your call, Ed. Jeffrey, in Manhattan, what did you want to add to the conversation about cell phones in schools?
I'm a school social worker and part-time teacher in a transfer school in Manhattan. And to me, we allow phones in our school. And our population, our schools comprise of students who have not made it in their other schools. I guess you would call it, I've never heard high impact as a term before, but I guess you might call it that. They come from all around the city. They're a little bit older. We don't have metal detectors. We have a lot of kids who have been involved in, you know, not very safe activities or come from not very safe neighborhoods. And our policy is, if we see your phone, it's taken away. And how there are different gradations to the rule, but, you know, it's sort of a, you're warned once, and then if you have to be warned again, the teacher doesn't have to confront you in the class, but the teacher will let a dean know, and then the next day, for example, you will submit your phone to one of the authorities and, you know, endure the consequences of being without a phone for a day. And to sort of iterate the argument of a former teacher who called, I believe, from Brooklyn, if it's a true emergency, there are many, many channels for a parent or, you know, someone outside the school to get to you or for you to get to them within the school. And it is seriously a distraction to have cell phones. And I enjoyed listening to Lisa discuss the, you know, the teaching of responsible use, which we also do, but it's really not that complicated.
Yeah, responsible use, you said. It's basically, yeah. If it's seen, we'll take it. And that's not only responsible use, that's good manners that many people can be taught. Thank you for your call, Jeffrey. And I want to bring in Natalie in Manhattan, because you have a different take on this. Natalie?
Yes, I really think that it's extremely counter-effective for teaching. I mean, if you go to any corporate or any business and you see people sitting around a table and having an important meeting, people are not texting. People are not picking up their cell phones.
Oh, Natalie, you should not come to meetings at WNYC. You'll be disappointed.
Oh, well. Anyway, I think that it's very unfair to teachers. I think it creates a very casual atmosphere. I think that parents are anxious about their children. That's too bad. I have a daughter. She went to school. She didn't have a cell phone. I lived with that. If anything terrible happens to a child, they're not going to be able to use a phone anyway. And I think that it's terrible. I think it's an abomination to have, you know, it's bad enough as it is with very large classrooms and people, you know, not being able to concentrate and pay attention. And in addition, to be listening to music or texting or talking to their friends during a class, I think it's horrible. And I don't know, you know, what is the big deal about people's children? I mean, you very rarely hear about children who are not safe or anything happened to children in New York City.
Well,
I don't know why they need it.
I just want to point out, you know, there was a case of a child who was kidnapped on his way home from school a couple of years ago.
Did he use a cell phone?
No, he was young and he did not, but that's something that parents often point out when they say that they want their children to have them.
Yes, but he wouldn't be able to use a cell phone anyway, so what is the point?
The point is parents feel like they want their children to be able to contact them in an emergency when they're on their way home from school and they're taking buses and subways across the city. We live in a city where, because there are so many schools now, that were opened under Mayor Bloomberg to expand choices for parents, very few children now go to their neighborhood school for middle or high school. They are traveling hours across the city every day. And that's something that's a real concern to working parents. And another thing I just want to point out is what we heard from the caller who works in a transfer school. So that's the same policy at the transfer school that I was working at. Those were kids who came from a lot of different difficult circumstances, and they were coming from all over the city to go to that school. And the policy, you know, when you say that people should not be using their phones at work when they're in board meetings, well, let's face it, they do. I cover events around the city all the time. I go to companies. I go to public meetings. People are constantly, as adults, battling with their cell phones. And the policy I heard from this school was this is something kids need to be prepared to deal with in life. They need to know how to be responsible with their cell phones. And we want to teach them to be responsible in school by saying, if you're using it and it's not bothering anyone and you're not texting and you're just, you know, off in the corner or something, that's one thing. But if we catch you doing it and it's a problem, we're taking it away. And so they felt like they were making the kids more responsible. But as we've heard, it really is a pain for the teachers to have to enforce it.
Natalie, thank you. Thank you for your call. I understand strong emotions when it comes to cell phones and how to regulate them, not just in our schools, but in everyday life. But Beth, this has been something that mayoral candidates again and again have said they want to take another look at. Have there been a range of possible changes, or is it just something that candidates and now Mayor de Blasio has said, well, let's look at this and we're going to update?
I haven't heard any concrete proposals. I haven't heard, you know, a 5-point plan or a blue ribbon task force. You know, it's nothing like that. It's just they know it's very, very unpopular, the ban with parents, and they're responding to that.
And before you go, I also want to make sure to ask you about a new service on schoolbook.org, mm-hmm. the website at WNYC, for parents in the middle school selection process. Is
right.
An update to what can parents get when they go to schoolbook.org if they're right. trying to figure out that landscape?
Middle school application season is upon us. There's going to be fairs coming up at the end of the month for parents to visit the middle schools. As I said, they're all over the city. You know, kids are given the choice of traveling the middle schools wherever they want if they can get into them. And it's a very, very complicated process. You have to pick your schools. You have to rank your schools. And so we have a new service that if you go to schoolbook.org, you can sign up and we will send you a weekly email of helpful hints. We're also going to be making some improvements and tweaks to the site in early October that will help parents as they search and compare different schools. You can follow me at Beth Fertig. You can follow Schoolbook at Schoolbook. And we would look forward to getting more input from parents and helping you as you navigate, because that's one of the features we want to provide on the site is help for parents, because there are 1,800 public schools in New York City right now. There's a lot to choose from, and there's just so much going on in the schools. It's like a city within the city.
Beth Fertig is the contributing editor for education at WNYC and schoolbook.org. Thank you for that new service.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
Parents figure out how to navigate our schools here in New York City. And thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Up next, what's next in the fight against Ebola in West Africa? I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer.